Hi, this is Ed Long at Information Farm, and joining us today are Bob and Ion, and we're going to be talking about an intelligence analysis of the fringe media. So, Bob, welcome.
Yeah, glad to be back with you, Ed. It's always fun to talk to you, and we like what you're doing for Ion. You're a great propagandist for Ion, and millions are coming because of you and informationfarm.blogspot.com. We begin by saying this. This is being recorded on May 17th, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good volume there, Ion. So, Ed, let's begin the theme.
Okay, so we're going to be given, Ion's going to be given an analysis of us for intelligence that we've received from alternative, what we're calling fringe media. And we're going to start with Aaron McCollum, an interview he did with Project Camelot back in January of this year, 2010. And Aaron aroused a lot of interest in the alternative listeners. He's in his early 30s. He's in the military for 10 years in the United States Coast Guard. And he says that was a cover for his work in black op projects. So, Bob, whenever you're ready, we can play the recording of Aaron from his Project Camelot interview.
Okay, here we go.
Make this statement. I want to make this perfectly clear. What I'm about to let everyone know is based on actual facts, articles, also contacts, absolute reliable contacts who have contacted me within the past month, overwhelming amount of information, and this is also based directly on operations that I was a part of, that I've regained some memories back from July of 2008 until the beginning of March of 2009. Operations I was a part of absolutely relate directly to what is happening now in the Gulf of Aden. So what is occurring right now? It's actually been going on for quite a while, but it's just now, for whatever reason, it's leaked out, or they have allowed it to leak out, I should say, that there has been major military ship movement happening in the Gulf of Aden in a specific location where they are actually hundreds of ships right now circling a designated area of open water. We're talking Russian warships, Chinese warships, Japanese warships, Australia, Germany, UK. The list goes on. Even designated European Union ships, UN ships, Blackwater, which is now Z, has a ship there right now. If anybody is aware, Japan has not actually had warships leave their area of operation for military type action in decades. Same with China. China is very much about keeping their warships close. So this is huge. On top of it, there is a research company that specifically deals in genetics and DNA. I don't remember the name at this time, but, Carrie, when I get that information to you, you will have that are specifically doing research in alien-human DNA research with the genetics. That is going on at the same time there as well. On top of it, there has been a lot of this. There's a lot of piracy going on there. Well, these pirates, the Somali pirates and all that, it's absolutely false flag operations. The reason they're doing that is to gain fear of, everyone in that area, to keep them away. It's a very good manageable method to keep just regular people, the public, away from that area. Because, what's a better way to invoke fear but piracy and terrorism? That comes to what happened at Fort Hood.
Now, we want to bring Ion in to comment on this. I've the first impression, I've never heard this guy before. There's a lot of stress in his voice. Yeah, and it maybe he's not comfortable speaking in public, but there's that kind of... it's a kind of stress that may not be caused by him being uncomfortable speaking. There's just a odd stress. So it's not. I don't respond well to that. But that may be just being too sensitive. Let's just go with what he said. This reminds me of what we discussed on Cashflow with Ion, the events leading up to February 11th, when the Iranian government announced boldly that they were going to develop nuclear power. Ion had been discussing a few weeks before that some American aircraft carrier had disappeared into a portal. Maybe it happened that day. February 11th was really
gate.
What was it? Beg your pardon?
A gate.
Yeah, it disappeared into a gate. And that happened on the 11th, that day the announcement was made?
Yes.
Okay, so if you wanted to hear more about that, listen to a cash flow before February 11th, a week or two before, because we were building up to February 11th, because Ion had told us something like this gate activity would happen. And it did happen, and the aircraft carrier disappeared. My question is Aaron McCollum talking about that stuff that we were discussing, Ion?
Well, we can't speak to what he was speaking regarding.
Okay, let's look at the words. He says, I've regained some memories back. Why did he lose his memories?
Can we just begin? Here we go. This portion of the program is brought from the White Ops. We won't have to go through the Black Ops, and we won't have to have all this concealed information and all this sidebar of sidewinding. Let's just lay it out for what it is. What's happening, in which we've already kind of been clear regarding the whole process of this fear campaign going on in the Sea of Aden. Who in the world goes to the Sea of Aden anyway that they need to be fearful of anything going on there? It's a sea, for Pete's sake. What's the point? If you're sailing, they haven't discouraged anything. And those pirates, they're not after regular Joes running around there. They're after all the other stuff that's going on as this quote-unquote cover-up. You know, they've got satellite imagery that can tell when anybody has flatulence anywhere on the planet. So there's supposed to be some type of fear campaign, a multicultural, multi-world conspiracy with China and Russia and Japan and Lord suffering cats, everybody. There's not enough water in the Sea of Aden to hold that many boats.
So you're saying those boats aren't there?
Well, I'm sure they have traffic, but the way it's pictured or being portrayed out, it's the Bay of Pigs, for goodness sake.
Okay, well, Ed, where does he talk about the portal or the gate stuff? Didn't you say he talks about that?
Yes, he does. He's saying that the Gulf of Aden is a stargate, and the purpose of having these warships from the various countries there is they don't want anyone else to be investigating the stargate.
So it's not a stargate, it's just a gate. And the gate connects parallel worlds. And that they lost a battleship in that portal. And they announced that beforehand, that big, tricky business was going to go on this certain date, which set everybody from yellow to high red alert, and they've still lost the battleship, and they can't find it, and it's floating around the Sea of Aden, too, but in a different world. And all that, the conspiracy going on around it is, who sank my battleship, and if they did, why can't we find it?
Is there a gate in the Gulf of Aden?
Well, of course there is. There's lots of them.
Is there only 9 gates?
No. The 9th gate is just a reference.
There's many gates.
Many gates. Many gates.
Okay, so
even more portals.
Right. So where is the gate in the Gulf of Aden? What part of the body of water there?
Well, it actually varies a bit, Bob. After you activate a gate, it can vary. There's not a longitude that you would use to come to that place. It's your place of connection. Because just like some people call it a vortex or a wormhole or different things. They don't know what they're talking about. But we're kind, loving, and patient. We let them do whatever they want to do. Once you understand an overlay, this concept that there is a gate, number one, then as you're traveling and petering around in the Sea of Aden, you'll see a shimmer. And that shimmer or anomaly, they talk about it with the Bermuda Triangle. The systems all kind of go crazy, and your altimeter goes crazy. I don't know what you need an altimeter on a battleship for, but apparently they got them. But anyhow, all your the electronics on your vessel kind of goes awry. So you can be dead still, and it'll say you're going 20 knots, which is pretty swoof for a big boat. Then the next thing you know, it'll dissipate and it'll be a change and you're through that gate. And what happens is then you're there and you're no longer in this realm or world, and you're actually in yet another world. And what they're all stirred about is they don't know where it is, they don't know where the gate is, they don't know how to activate it, they don't know how they got through it, and they don't want anything else to come through it or back or forth through it. It's what your military action is regarding.
Did you just say they don't want anybody going through it? Is that what you just
said? And they don't know where it is.
But can you give the coordinates, or it's not like that?
It moves.
Moves around. So that is a fact. There's a gate in the Gulf of Aden. And Aaron McCollum, is he thinking about that gate? Is this what he's talking about?
Well, he regained memories regarding it. So this is first-hand, documented, provable fact, and yet he's just regained memory regarding it. That seems a bit auspicious, don't you think?
Yeah, is he an MKUltra victim, Ed? Is that what he says?
He says he's participated in a project called Project Talent and also an MKUltra as well, as I understand it.
And that he acknowledges that he had his memories erased temporarily or something.
That is what it sounds like. That's how we're interpreting it, I believe.
All right, Ion, did Aaron McCollum...
So that means that he puffed the peace pipe and drank the Kool-Aid? Is that what you're referring to?
We're not sure. You're not sure. So do you see him having had some external agency erase his memories? Not puff or anything, but
what do you call that? The only way that'd be possible in the human condition is if you gave your power to it. The only way that would be even in any realm of possibility would be that you yielded and gave your power to it. And if you wholeheartedly gave your power to it, why in the world would you be on something else now exposing it?
So he gave his power. Okay, so you can only get brainwashed if you give your power to it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so he gave his power to something if he was brainwashed.
Indeed. And if he was effectively brainwashed, why would he have the tactility to come now and say, I have the proof of the parts that I was allowed to remember? I have information to share of the parts. They, we don't know who this innocuous they is, but this they have allowed it to leak out. And since they have let it leak out, then I can speak of it vaguely.
Right. So what do you see was happening in his existence, his life, from July 2008 until the beginning of March 2009? What do you see he was engaged in?
A lot of fear.
But was he employed? Was he in an institution, a military institution in some form?
Not specifically.
Why was he afraid, do you know?
We have no idea. Fear is fear begets fear.
Right, so you don't see him in a obvious role in some institution or some function in that period?
No.
You see him by himself?
Well, see, he's creating, so it's his own place in the confines of his mind. You know, he can go all over the place. All humans can.
Mm.
And we're not necessarily disputing the wordy words that are used. We're just trying to calculate what can be gained from those words shared. There's too many dynamics that don't get you anywhere. That's all. And if there is a story, if it's that big of a conspiracy, why would it be that he's the one that has the answer?
So Ed, why does he was among the conspirators? Is that what he says?
No.
But he doesn't explain how he. How does he know this? How does he say he knows this information?
Well, at the beginning, he says he wants to let everyone know that the information he's given is based on actual facts, articles, and contacts, absolute reliable contacts, who have contacted him within the past month, which would have been probably December, January, with an overwhelming amount of information. And he says it's based directly on operations that he was a part of, and that he's regained some memories back from July of 2008 to the beginning of March 2009.
So, do you see who his contacts were, Ion?
Well, now, in his defense, Bob, we can't remember. Do you see, the strain of this is that someone came after the fact to give him this concrete information that has now allowed him to have recall regarding it. Is he reporting it, or did he participate in it? If he participated in it, then that's the story, and it ought to be on the CNN.
Right, so he says here, this company, research company, that deals in genetics and DNA. They're specifically doing research in alien/human DNA.
No. The only thing alien is the people who live in Arizona.
Yes, and that law is implemented yet? Has that happened, that law? For Arizona?
I did it already.
Okay.
That's just... The state's issuing a federal mandated law, so go figure.
That's recently, though, last few weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you don't see, do you see any company, any research company on the planet doing studying of alien/human DNA?
Well, no, what he was saying is they were mixing the human and alien DNA.
Well, no, it just says doing research. Doesn't say mixing.
It says doing research in alien/human DNA, researching with the genetics.
Right.
And is there any company doing that?
No, Bob.
All right, so that's not being done. That's a fact. So that's an ionic fact. And we don't have any documentation.
Oh, it's represented through the White Ops program.
So... we don't have any documentation to support what Ion's saying, but we're interested in what Ion has to say. Non-physical, well, maybe you could produce some physical information in some way. You post a lot of stuff on our Ionic chat forum, so maybe you could show something, if there was any. So,
now, here you go. The point of this conversation is to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Well, the wordy words that have been used so far, we didn't get very far to have to get out of.
Okay.
So so it's real simple. It's real easy to get documentable, vindicatable, blah blah blah, proof of proof, when you're dealing with things outside of any dynamic that has even the realm of possibility. If the human creator, you can do, be, or have anything you want to be, do, or have, all right? But if you can be, do, or have anything, and you come to the full understanding and knowledge of that, then you won't have to go find alien DNA to rip to make a genome of a new strata of DNA for the humans. You see, it's not required. Just like if you've got a good tractor, you don't have to feed a mule to do your gardening for you. So it's the humans coming into their power negates most all that dynamic, because even if the aliens came to take over and all this stuff, well, if you're a human creator and you come into your power, you could welcome them in, serve them some tea, have a conversation, have no trouble, no issue, no problem. But if the angels bow to you, why in the world would an alien want to engage you?
Don't see the connection.
Well, the connection is, if you come into your power, all this fear of all this inside-outside big brother coming to run you down goes away just about like good digestion. It passes soon enough.
Why did you relate angels to the aliens' attitude toward us?
Because humans, into their place of power, controls every dynamic in their world. Every dynamic. So to run around being afraid of the dark, or afraid of the light, or afraid of the candles, or afraid of the aliens, or afraid of the government, or afraid of the MK Ultras, VD, CD, DB, DB, something, 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 becomes just tragically amiss.
A what? A miss, M-I-S-S?
It's a miss, a foot, a wrong direction, a false premise.
A-M-I-S-S.
A miss, yeah. Because if you're into your power, let them blow about whatever they want to blow. It won't affect you. Didn't work out very well for Chicken Little, if you recall.
Mm. Okay, so what is going on with the Somali pirates? Are they representing something that's not limited to Somali piratry?
They're paid to run around and make Mazurk crazy.
Make who?
Mazurk. The shipping company.
Oh, okay. So they're paid to do that by who?
Well, if you listen to what you've heard so far, it would have to be some subculture alien transplant that the government's running to overrun you in your beds.
Okay, and you don't go along with that explanation, so who do you see as paying them?
Well, that's not very difficult.
Okay, well, tell us. We can't figure it out.
Who's concerned about the gate?
The Pentagon, I guess.
Well, there you start right there.
So they're paying people to harass a shipping line, not about the gate. Not obviously about the gate.
Well, he's saying that all that is just a campaign to keep the tourist out of the Gulf of Aden.
Is that true?
Bob, what tourist goes to the Gulf of Aden?
Well, he doesn't say tourist.
That would be about as parallel to say, we've started a fire at the North Pole to keep the tourists out of there. We've got some rampant polar bears that don't stink. And they're eating. They have the space Q technology, and they're coming to take it off. So whatever you do, stay out of the North Pole, because it's on fire, to keep everybody away. The very idea to even describe it this way would bring everybody that's got a 30-foot yacht into the thing to see what in the world was going on. And you're sitting here saying in the Gulf of Aden, there would have to be international waters. You've got Japanese, you've got Australian, you've got Taiwanese, you've got China, you got Russian, and of course the entire, every battalion of the United States government, and we don't even think Canada has any ships, but if they've got any floating, they're probably in there too. And we got three or four from Nigeria. I'm sure they had a few boats, but they sprung a leak. But they've got great internet service. They got good internet providers there, so they can run some information. Setting everybody into the Gulf of Aden to do something.
Okay, you said tourists. He does. He doesn't say tourists, but he says regular. It's a very good manageable method to keep just regular people, the public, away from it. And you
throw to the duff of eight, and if it was on fire.
And it's interesting you brought up the polar bear method, because polar bear, that's a theme in Lost, in the TV show Lost, the mysterious polar bears that showed up on the island. Okay, so he ends by saying, that comes to what happened at Fort Hood, so we don't play that part, Ed, right? Do you know what he says about Fort Hood?
No, Carrie goes on to another topic. That's the topic that's coming up, right. And they don't return to Fort Hood.
Right.
So, Ian, can I ask you, the ship that went into the Gulf and is into the gate is in another world. Did it go purposely, or was it an accident that it ended up in the gate?
Well, it was an anomaly. It was an anomaly. And many, 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 many are scratching their heads, especially because they put black boxes and GPSs on those battleships. They can find those battleships if they're on anywhere close to terra firma. And yet, it's not only gone, it's evaporated.
And that happened on February 11th, I think.
That's correct.
Yeah, this year. So, March, April, May, 3 months. And
sundown, Aiden time.
Yeah. So, and the Iranian government knew that was going to happen, so they
announced it in advance.
Yeah, did they say that particular statement about a ship disappearing?
They said, everyone in the world will know our power on February 11th.
That's right, and Ed, what it turned out, they had a psychic medium or something who helped them see this coming in their employ. Oh, that reminds me, Ed, you asked me to point out why we're using non-physical, known as ion. Non-physical ion has gone into this, and I knew it from my own experience that intelligence agencies traditionally, it's regular, have used mediums. So if we're doing intelligence analysis here, then we can use mediums just like our competitors do.
And we don't push against anyone. We've been kind, and we participate at all levels. When they contact us, we don't have any issue. We love and appreciate all human creators. So regardless of how many venereal diseases letters they have after their title, we don't push against any of them. We love and appreciate them all, and we happily, all day, every day, are trying to do everything to bring them back into their place of power. And if it comes to that end, then of course. So the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and we can't tell the difference.
Right, and you would make the point that JW is not a medium. He's a large. Could you expand on a bit about what you mean by large, other than the joke pun on medium?
Well, just that it's conscious. It's conscious. There's no subconscious. There's no unconscious. This is conscious communication with pure positive source energy.
Even though JW is in a state of unconsciousness, sort of, right now.
Not really. No. He can sip on his jasmine tea, and he can walk around outside, and he strolls around.
And he's experiencing, isn't he seeing the boxes? The banker's boxes, isn't that what he sees?
He does. He has complete information because, see, the connection between energy, your non-physical, melding, becoming in one with the meat sack, and if it doesn't offend the labyrinth of your mind, or at least if you're able to recall it, then all of a sudden, all knowing is available to everyone, not just some guru schmoo somewhere out there or some Senate subcommittee page that overhears the wrong conversation or any other dynamic that you're trying to run around. And we love George Stephanopoulos, and that's just wonderful. But, you know, even he can get the right story every now and again.
Yeah, but we're talking about JW. I understand his experience when ion is coming through him is he seeing banker's boxes as a question is asked, and then he looks through the files in the banker's boxes. That's what he thinks he's doing.
Yeah, he gets that's his experience. Yes, and then as a topic gets voluminous, then the room will fill up, and he moves to another room, and then that room fills up, and there's a lot of space because it's a lot of boxes sometimes. And Bob, how long do you go? You can go what, 10, 12 hours without taking a breath?
That'll fill up his whole house.
Well, most of it.
Okay, so he's outside walking around now. Is he seeing the banker's boxes?
No, he's moved back in now, and yes, they're stacking up.
They don't stack up outside until the house is filled up.
Well, that's never happened yet.
Right. So when he was outside, they weren't out there, and it was an interval, an interlude, before he came back in to deal with the next question and boxes that would show up?
Sometimes.
Right.
But he's played in the snow and the rain. He comes in sometimes when he comes back and he's soaking wet because we've had him out in the rain. It's all perfectly delicious.
So he's conscious, but he is seeing something different than his family members are seeing. They're not seeing the boxes.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's an altered state. He's in an altered state, you could say.
Well, he would say a more complete state.
Hmm. Okay, that was just a side thing about the use of mediums, that this is not mediumship. You're not entities. You're actually Bob and Ed's non-physical in this particular situation. If we have a client, it's their non-physical that ion is.
That's correct.
Right.
And this is so simple and easy. It's the whole point of this is that all this protraction and all this gobbledygook stuff that you go through all day, every day, the whole point is solved. Easy breezy peasy. Be a human creator. You are already. Embrace your non-physical that you've already got. Engage it, not offend the labyrinth of your mind, your decider. Then you have every knowledge that's available to you. You don't have to listen to who's saying what about what. You can find out and figure it out for yourself. You can come into your power. And everything that's in your world you created anyway, so you don't have to have all the commentary when you know.
Okay, Ion. So Aaron says this stuff. He's creating this scenario. It exists because it is thunk.
Well, in his experience, yes.
In his experience. What is the general area that other people would agree that it's happening, what he is experiencing? Where is that? Well, I'm always asking you that. Where is that consensus created?
Well, it's from the outer kingdom, Bob.
Mm, yeah.
The outer kingdom says something's going on. Okay. Well, in the outer kingdom, you can bring that into your middle kingdom and make it part of your world if you choose to. But you could also say, not a chance. No, 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 no. We're good.
Right. So what?
And then therefore it is not in that human's experience.
Right. So this is Aaron McCollum's interpretation of his outer kingdom.
Well, he says it's in his middle kingdom. He said he lived it, what he can recall.
Yeah.
He lived it, and then sources outside of himself that shall go unnameless have validated all this documentation. To point of that these things that he didn't say exactly what they were, or exactly how it works, or exactly what it does, or what it's really all about, but he's sure it's going on.
Okay, Ed, you know his work, Aaron, and what he said. Can you add something? What does his information lead to? What's his larger point that we haven't heard?
Is there a point? That's the better question.
Where does this interview lead to?
No, he's just giving information. I can't say that it leads somewhere.
Okay, and the point of this information is that the world may know, or that you should go build a bomb shelter. Oh, wait, they still have those from the new fallout shelters, so they should restock those and climb into the ground, and will he let us know when it's time to safely come out and start enjoying creation again?
Well, I'd say it's up to each human creator who's listening is how they were interpreted.
Well, it's presented in such a way, is it a call to arms? Is it to create? Is it to push against? Is it to embrace? Is it to figure out how to get the real good DNA so you don't have to be less than as the state that you're being presented as? Or are we missing something in humble non-physical here?
Well, we're missing the same thing in the physical.
Yeah, okay, why? There must be some point that the interviewer brings out in this.
No,
Carrie
I would say it's more like a debriefing. You're just debriefing this gentleman.
And what you've shown us is the key point he's making. What's going on in the Gulf of Aden? That's his main intelligence.
Well, I think what I'm showing is what many other listeners are doing. They're listening and they're trying to figure out what's being said here, and they're picking up the idea of a gate, which Miss Cassidy is calling a stargate.
Mm. And to them, what do they say has happening in this gate? What do they say is happening?
Well, at one point,
Aaron.
Carrie said, she says to Aaron, "You're talking about a ship in the middle of the water where the Stargate is located." So, and then she says she understands that the Stargate is over the body of water. So it sounds to me as if they're trying to understand what a Stargate is, what it looks like, since she's not there and none of the rest of us are either, and that maybe he has privileged information that he can enlighten us on this Stargate and what happens to the ships out there in the Stargate.
Oh, okay. And is that the question for us?
No. You were saying S-H-I-P, not S-H-I-F-T, correct, Ed?
Yes, a boat.
Yeah. They're saying, do they talk about what we're talking about? We're actually telling what's going on.
Well, and a lot of them have heard. They've heard and become enlightened. Maybe that's what jarred their memories.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if we talked about it before January 27th. He might have heard our show on cash flow.
Okay, and I think, you know, if we play the next part, we'll have a little more information from him. It's a short piece, and maybe one do that.
Okay,
like a minute.
Yeah, before you do that, he's not saying that there's more than one Stargate. He's saying there's a significant Stargate in the Gulf of Aden, and Ion's saying it's just a gate.
It's one of a million.
Yes.
Right, so.
Yes, and I think that's what we get from Ion. See, what is being put out in this community that people are listening to is there just a limited number of gates, and so they're very significant wherever there is a gate. And what Ion is saying is, no, there are many gates, and you can use these gates. You don't have to have a military. You don't have to have the technology. It's available
actually
for human creators to use.
Do better without the military.
Yes.
You actually do better without the military. Why do you have to have a governing body over your power? That's the point.
And the military, they lost their boat and don't even know why.
And they ain't putting that out yet.
But just for the record, Ian was pointing out that was the day that Bill Clinton collapsed with a heart problem, and that's because he heard about the disappeared boat and thought it would reflect badly on President Obama and the Democratic Party, that under their administration, a major aircraft carrier disappeared. Right, Ian? That's what you were talking about.
We were alluding to, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Consternation in the powers that be when the powers that be aren't in power.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know February 11th, and we talked about, let's go into that female scientist, because we talked about her a few weeks before the February 11th story, and he may have heard. I can check the actual dates here.
We can give you the bill of particulars.
Okay.
And she was. That was that innocuous address where the information was hidden that can't be found, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, Gloucester Street, in Zurich or Bern.
That was in Zurich.
Yeah.
And her office was torched, and then she was dead.
Right, and she had, I can't remember exactly, was she aware of the gate and possibility, but exaggerated it?
Well, and she had some documentation from some of the anomalies that take place around the gates. And specifically, her research was based upon individuals who've been through the portals and back, and the shift in their change in their physicality.
She had documentation of that. And these people were in the military. Who were they doing this with and for?
Who are you referring to?
The people who were back and forth with parallel world traveling, who were changing their physical structure.
Yes.
How did she hear about them?
Well, I'm sure she was listening to Chief Radio. No. I'm being cheeky. No. This information is not hidden anymore. It's out there. It's available.
Okay, were these people that she was monitoring, they were in the military?
No, not at all.
They were private citizens.
Of course.
Who were doing it like those guys who went into the spiral in Norway, off of Norway.
That's correct.
Right, similar private individuals. So, but she was, why was she threatened? Why did she die? Transitioned.
Well, she suicided.
And what was she upset about? This information?
Who said she was upset?
Why did the scientist's activity, this woman and her transition, come up in relation to us talking about the disappearing aircraft carrier and the threat?
Well, a marvelous human creator asked about the dynamics of it. We gave the bill of particulars and what it was regarding, and then it sort of swifted away into Never Never Land, never to be mentioned of again.
Okay, well, the place where her documents were stored were on a street that's hard to find. You can't find it on Google Maps.
Well, most of the creators found it on Google Earth. It wasn't too big a thing. And MapQuest gave them directions to it, even across the Atlantic. But others, it eluded them.
Okay, so was she associated with any military people or some institution?
No, she was not. She was not.
Okay, well, is that leading anywhere, Ed? Let's not bring her up. She sounds like a private person.
It's okay. It's not a problem. It's just that transition process becomes significant. The more and more humans start figuring it out, waking up. Now, we're not saying they're all asleep, but the awakening process of coming into your power, these anomalies stand. If science gets a hold of it, and it can't disprove it. Anything that science doesn't understand is an abomination. So anything that's under the category of abomination, no present U.S. term reference or pun intended, of an abomination becomes then something that you play with. And if you can disprove it, then it's not. But if they can't disprove it, then it is.
Wait a minute. Why are we talking about this woman? I brought her up. She was brought up. And it links to this mysterious Glotcher Street, which we don't know anybody who found it, but you claim somebody found Glotcher Street. Nobody found it on Google Maps. Only one person I know looked for it, and they couldn't find it. And you then implied that this street would not be visible because it was significant, what goes on there, what goes on in the buildings there, or in this particular building.
Mm-hmm. What was stored, the documents that were stored separate from there.
They were stored separate from there? What mean they were stored somewhere else?
And that's what they were. That's why they torched it, trying to think they were getting those documents, which had some of the documentation of proof within EEGs and with tests that were done on humans that could show that they were different. And the reason they were different was because of this shift that they went through from parallel worlds. And Bob, you have countless...
No, okay, just hold it. Now, you're saying, use the phrase, this information was separate from the address. Why are you saying that? It was somewhere else, so why are we talking about that address?
It was there, but they didn't get to where it was torched. They torched the entire office. But this information was in a separate place also, and it was not destroyed. It is still available.
Right, so the information was not in the building that was torched.
Well, it was, but the copy of it was in backup.
Oh, so the original was burned up, but the copies are still available.
That's
correct. Oh, okay. So, Ed, sorry we got into that lemon squeezing, but so that, and it's, this woman did, the scientist did the measurement?
Sure.
Okay, so, and it inspired her to commit suicide?
Well, to transition, yes.
Because she was, it was something she got inspired to do because of the information, she wanted to go to parallel worlds?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so she was like an amateur, just thought, well, she could have parallel world without committing her suicide, but she took that path. So it sounds, I'm just looking at the dates here. We did a show on January 27th, the day of the Aaron McCollum interview. We did a show on February 3rd, then on February 10th. So I remember the 10th is the day before February 11th. We either forgot or we didn't do it. So we did more on February 3rd, so we may not have done stuff on January 27th, so therefore he did not steal from us, Ed. I'm speculating. You know what I mean? He did not get these ideas from us. I think we were not putting it out on the 27th.
Was parallel worlds not mentioned before that reading, before that?
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. There was
then you can add, you can call it a stargate if you want to, and, you know, an equal portal or body portal or whatever you want to call it, and you just develop it from there if you have the ability to remember.
So was do you know if Aaron McCollum had listened to a Cash Flow Wednesday version with you before January 27th?
Not specifically, but we can give you with great authority that many of his confidants have.
There you got it. That wraps it up. His contacts told him. They're the listeners to our show. Now that's satisfactory for me. And you're saying on the his contacts did listen to us.
And we love and appreciate them dearly.
Yeah, bring their friends. So then, okay, Ed, you're going to play the next tape.
You're saying that there is genetic engineering going on. What are you talking about? Are you talking about, you know, on a ship in the middle of the water or, you know, where the Stargate is located? Because I understand the Stargate is over a or over the body of water.
It is, and there are actual, there's witness testimony and there are images of... They're calling it a magnetic, an anomaly and a huge magnetic field that is occurring right there at that location.
Hey, I'm just going to stop for a second. Anomaly, Ed? That word's been coined by Ion.
Yes, that's good.
And field, and your field, and then the EMP and this magnetic resonance that's increased around it, and... Now it's changed to where they're in the ship studying this anomaly.
Okay, they... Who's changed
who's
what?
They? We don't know.
No, but what... Okay, that sentence doesn't mean anything unless you give some particular... They are studying... They now... Okay, you want to clarify what you're referring to? Who's studying that? And
we don't know, Bob. That's what his words were.
Oh. I don't see the word study in there. Okay. So... He says...
Back it up and play it again.
They're calling it an anomaly and a huge magnetic field that is occurring right there at that location. For me, the word anomaly, I never heard it so much until I started talking to Ion. So would you agree, Ed? The word anomaly is a catchword in Iondom, in the world of Ion, that use. Would you agree with that, Ed?
I do agree.
Yeah, you never heard people talking about events as anomalies like this before Ion, correct?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so he says they're calling it an anomaly. And
well,
a huge
he must have been talking about you and Ion, were calling it an anomaly.
Right, and a huge magnetic field
cheeky,
definitely...
I'm being cheeky, right? Because day is never spelled out, but from what we're saying, we could interpret it as day calling it an anomaly is Ion in you.
Right, and definitely the main theme on our shows on cash flow that Ion started with was the huge magnetic field. That is what, that's another theme that Ion refers to, correct, Ion?
Of course, but now, to be fair, here's all we do is we answer the asker. So any human creator, we don't originate this stuff. They ask, and when they ask about angels, we'll talk about angels. Whatever it is they want to talk about, we answer it at that point. Because the whole principle or the only reason that it's even required or necessary is anything that brings the human creator back into their very own power, they can decide for themselves. They certainly have the power to be able to have capacity regarding that. And that's at the end of the day, if that's what's accomplished, hip, hip, hooray, good, we're good, we can go to the beach. We'll play a little more. Is there such a thing, Bob, as backing that up so you can hear that first few seconds that just went through?
Well, I can look at the transcript. I do not see the word study.
Well,
that's what I'm taking issue with.
Ed?
No, I'll replay it. I'll back it up.
He can replay it.
They have a ship under the Stargate. And on the ship, they are studying the anomalies.
You're saying that there is genetic engineering going on. What are you talking about? Are you talking about, on a ship in the middle of the water or, where the Stargate is located? Because I understand the Stargate is over the body of water.
It is. And there's witness testimony and there are images of... They're calling it an anomaly, a huge magnetic field that is occurring right there at that location. They're calling it an anomaly, they're giving it labels, where the water is actually in a swirling motion. It's actually causing a huge whirlpool effect.
Incredible.
And there has been actual sightings, and you can find this online, of where they have seen a part of it actually come up. But... that's gone away now as far as the sightings because they have, the area of security zone around it is miles and miles and miles.
Okay, so is there some swirling of water connected to the gates that you're discussing, Ion?
Well, apparently they have a supernatural ship if it's in underneath this Stargate and it's all of a vortex in the ocean that this ship's not sucked into it.
Okay, not sure what you were saying. Are you discussing what Aaron's saying?
Yeah.
Okay, he's saying
there's a ship underneath the Stargate, and they're looking at it, giving all this. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Registering, studying this anomaly that's described.
Yeah.
Well, now that anomaly turns into a vortex where the water's swirling, 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 swirling. Well, how's the ship staying out of this huge, vast, swirling water under this massive Stargate?
Okay, so that's what...
But it stopped now. Now they've got the entire miles and miles and miles of the city of Aden blocked off, and I guess the Sudan or the Somalians have got it all barricaded off, so nothing's going through there. So everybody cannot see this that is going on with documented proof. It's on the internet, Bob. It's on the internet. So if it got on the internet, then apparently if someone knew where the Gulf of Aden was and they went to Google Earth, they should be able to go to that space and see that vortex, that hole, or the anomaly thereof, could they not?
Right. I mean, Ed, it's just Carrie is a terrible interviewer. She's just going along for the ride. She's not questioning any of this stuff or something.
Well, we love and appreciate her, too.
Well,
okay.
And
now,
I say that, too. We're not criticizing the interviewers. Our errand, we're just trying to get... handle on this information that's being presented. We love Carrie. We love Aaron.
We do indeed.
But as we're hearing this, it's so ridiculous as we believe Ion or take Ion's perspective.
We haven't said much yet, yes. Bob. We just asked a few questions.
That's right. No, and it just destroys it. But okay, in reference to the real Stargate, the gates that you talk about, and when the ship. The aircraft carrier went through, was there any whirlpool effect witnessed by anybody?
Oh, good gracious, no.
Okay, so this is silly. Okay, on to... let's move forward to 406 on this recording. So,
you're saying that there is an underground base, an underwater base in the Gulf of Aden?
Yes.
Okay. And that's where you think the genetic engineering is going on?
Absolutely.
Okay, and
it's the same. They're doing similar things that they've been doing for decades at underground bases all over the place. Specifically, they've been doing specific types of DNA research and engineering in a lot of the underwater bases, like, for example, the one that's in the Caribbean, the one that I was at.
So he was he at an underwater base in the Caribbean, Ian?
Bob, no.
Okay.
Underwater bases. God gracious.
Well, let's go back. Is there an underwater base in the Gulf of Aden, Ion?
No.
There's no genetic engineering going at the non-existent place. And
the ocean of the Bay of Aden.
Beg your pardon? No, what did you just say? Ocean of the Bay of Aden? What?
Yeah, there's no underwater base under the Ocean of Aden.
Okay. All right, so I shall go into the next part, right, Ed? We're okay?
Okay, well, I think what's of interest to listeners is it's not just this interview, but they've been hearing from other individuals that similar to what Aaron has just said, and that is for decades there have been underground bases, and part of what goes on in these underground bases are genetic engineering that are mixing alien DNA with human DNA. So this is sort of why we're doing the program today and bringing this information out, getting a perspective from non-physical, because it's bigger than just what Aaron's saying. So there's many people who are saying this similar story.
Yeah, I first heard it from Cosmic Awareness, Paul Shockley, back in the early 80s.
And
30 years ago.
What was Cosmic Awareness's take on it?
That it was happening. Remember Dulce? Is it Dulce, New Mexico? D-U-L-C-E?
Yes, Dulce, New Mexico.
That was the main. And Paul might have been picking up information from John Lear and that group, because they were the first to kind of talk about it. And I don't know if Lear mentioned Dulce. But anyway, his awareness, Cosmic Awareness, said it was in Dulce, New Mexico, D-U-L-C-E, that there were underwater bases, and they even had drawings and sketches on their newsletter of these weird hybrids and alien and MJ-12 kind of interaction. Alien and human, maybe Kissinger, you know, Kissinger and the elites of the Trilateral Commission were interacting with aliens and causing creations.
Don't forget Lindy. Get little Lindy in there.
No, LaRouche didn't go that far. No way. He was sane. He remained relatively sane, even though he didn't know it was a post-information society.
Okay,
so Ed, I definitely agree with you. That meme's been around for 25, 30 years.
Yes, exactly right. And it's all based on time, and it's all based on a false premise. There's nothing wrong. You haven't even... Don't you find it intriguing that geneticists would spend all of these vast years trying to hook up the DNA of aliens with humans when they haven't even successfully gotten a genotype of regular human DNA? They don't know how the RNA interacts with it now. They haven't divided out the chromosomal impact of even having a small environmental action that affects the entire genome of the structure of human beings. If they're not smart enough to figure out what regular DNA is, how in the name of a sovereign creator do they start mixing alien DNA with it?
Right. How do they? They don't.
Well, the story is that these aliens who supposedly have superior technology are instructing our scientists on how to do this.
Well, they're not doing a very good job of communicating then, are they?
Well, maybe they are doing it. They haven't told us. But from your perspective, you do not.
Yep, they told them how to start the HIV and how to make the pigs fly, how to get harp to wipe out different continents that are overpopulated, and how to make the cloud streams blow people's minds, and how to have the Nephilim. And to come and join in with the humans and the angels and the humans hooking up together, which caused two of the big floods already anyway. Let's go back to the pyramids when they were lining it all up in the Stonehenge and told, whispered in the Mayans' ears, y'all better get out before it's too late. And all of these things that you're describing, they fall, the only place that they fall short of is that they're always developed from the concept of a false premise. They'll take a nickel's worth of something valid and turn it into this great big thing that they can't get there from there. The Fringe series, when they picked up the bubblegum wrapper on the bridge and they picked up and the message of the day was, you can't get there from now.
Yeah, the Joe Palooka bazooka bubblegum wrapper that Peter finds when he was in Washington State. Okay, that would be two shows ago. Okay, so
now the trick of this is, if we're not pushing against a thing, but we don't have to be clear. At some point, you got to come syncing this stuff up. And yes, if you talk about something long enough, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Did you hear? I was listening to Achieve Radio, and they said that the sky was falling. And I called Mother Tarot, and she didn't have much to say about it. But we're being cheeky. We love them all, and you can edit it to death if you want to. Because we're not pushing against a thing. What we are saying is, if you come into your own power, you won't have to have all this outside ancillary cleanups on aisle five. It'll be clear. You won't have to think about it. You'll know. And you'll have every documentation that you require. Because then if it's in your experience and your reality, and if it serves you to engage with an alien technology, wonderful. If you come into your power, you could go there and visit them anytime, any way you wanted to. And you might find out that they're not very different than you are already, only and except that they understand their power.
Right, so it is historical fact, from Ion's perception, that there was a mixing of alien and human DNA with the Nephilim.
Right, of course.
That's spelled out in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened, and there were two floods as a result of that phenomenon?
Correct.
Okay, I think we've... clarify.
You're doing good now. Finish your little bit that you got left.
Yeah, so he's talking about decades.
Okay, not to be cheeky, but really, the next part goes into time-traveling dolphins.
Okay, so... We're marvelous creatures.
So long, and thanks for all the patience.
Well, you know, and that's why we're called in non-physical to clean this up for us, clean up on
our It's all fun. It is great
fun.
I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's just too fun, yes.
Okay, so I'm ready to start it. Here we go.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I know you have some interesting abilities associated with water, isn't that right? And I remember that dolphins have been used by the military to actually perform feats and to actually do, you know, operations basically.
Oh, yes.
Over by Saudi Arabia and you know, over in that area. So I'm thinking that with this, what's going on in the Gulf of Aden, basically, there has to be something involving dolphins and possibly other, you know, sea animals like whales. But I'm just curious: has there been any information about how about the dolphins in that area or anything else?
The only information that I have for a fact, which is public information, is that, you know, dolphins are being used in all the waters around the Middle East for reconnaissance missions. They actually have dolphins that are trained that have actual surveillance equipment that are attached to them for, you know, looking for underwater mines, looking for bombs under piers, even under ships, oil rigs, and even information gathering. They have dolphins that are set up with certain information sound recording equipment that actually can record sound on land that travels via through the water, because sound travels at a much greater distance and can keep its real concentrated frequency much longer underwater than it can in open air. Do I have any information that dolphins are specifically being used in the Gulf of Aden for whatever intents and purposes with this Stargate? No, I don't. But based on my direct work with dolphins, with Project Seagate, I would not be surprised, because dolphins have been discovered because of their frequencies, because of other abilities that dolphins have that people are not aware of. They discovered a while ago, you know, however long, at least I know for at least 20 or maybe even 30 years, that dolphins directly have, because of their frequency, because of what they can do, are almost used as a medium for travel via the Seagate.
What do you mean by that? Travel? Are you talking about time travel?
I'm talking about not just time travel. I'm talking about traveling to other locations in the universe.
Okay, and how are dolphins used in that regard?
It was found that, well, with the Seagate, everything is done, frequencies which are used, which they found, frequencies are used to actually put you on the molecular level in a different state. This way your body can actually handle traveling great distances.
Okay, I know what you mean. You mean, in other words, if humans are put in contact with dolphins and do what's called in training,
yes,
they get aligned on the same frequency as a dolphin, and that heightens the human awareness such
absolutely
that if you then... I'm just, you know, I'm extrapolating here, but because I've swam with dolphins and I know this happened to me, I'm guessing that's kind of what you mean.
Iona, is the military or any military or any institution using dolphins to facilitate human travel to other parts of the universe or to other universes?
You mean other seas?
Other seas, yes.
That's a Seagate. That's something else. We don't know Seagate unless it's a computer company.
So,
and if they are, then someone should call PETA and turn them in because they're violating the dolphins' inalienable rights.
So you don't see dolphins being trained?
No. If they were that smart, why don't we all intend, as marvelous human creators, to become as ascended as the dolphins?
And the interviewer says that using the concept of entraining. I've heard of that concept before, entraining.
Well, so that's what they talk about all the time with the government. Has got the superhumans that run around killing everybody, and they invade your mind, and they plant demon seeds in your head, and you can't remember nothing, and you can't find out nothing. Everything you find out is for their privilege and pleasure. And then the G20 meets and decides how the IMF's going to respond to what the dolphins found in Saudi Arabia. How many dolphins are they in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, is it true that we could align ourselves with the dolphins and then train correctly and develop abilities to go to other universes or to any
and Rottweilers and tabby cats and camels and rattlesnakes and don't forget the chickens. Yeah, and Ed can tell you about the chickens. Lots of chicken interaction. Maybe you could line up with the chickens and they could tell you things.
Well, so
Lord suffering cats, don't forget them.
And Ion, do the dolphins travel to parallel worlds?
They are non-physical, so no, they don't have to. And if they did, they would from non-physical without any disdain. But we promise you with great authority that it won't be via a Seagate.
Is Project Seagate referring to the Stargate, Ed? Do you know what Project Seagate is?
No, I don't. This is not explained. I would say that there's references that this was a project that Aaron participated in and it had to do with water and perhaps his abilities to perhaps swim like a dolphin or stay underwater longer than regular human beings. And this is something that they mentioned they would do another interview with Aaron, and that interview hasn't taken place so far, that maybe he would explain what Project Seagate is. So there's a lot of inferences here that aren't really explained in this particular interview.
Right, and so as he says here that he's worked with dolphins. Has he done that, Ion?
Well, Bob, lots of folks have swam with dolphins. Well, so did Michael Jordan when he learned how to fly like an eagle to the sea. Maybe that's where it's all hooked together.
So, but you do not see an engaged time with the dolphins studying them, some project that he was involved in. Studying the dolphin, doing something with them besides just swimming with them.
Well, Bob, you can talk to them and they can squeak back. I mean, they did a series back in the 60s called Flipper. Boy, that was pretty big. Flipper, save the day more times than you can know. Maybe that's where it all spawned. The spawn of Flipper.
Do you know that show, Ed?
Oh, definitely. We love Flipper.
Yeah, Flipper. So this is a Flipper meme here.
Thanks for the fish.
Flipper slipped through the sea gate and came to help that family figure out every Matlock series that had to do with anything going on strange. Flipper could tell them where they were shipwrecked, when somebody was hurt, when something was going on bad in the ocean. And Flipper would come and go, and then they got a series for the little ones, SpongeBob SquarePants. That one got it all, so the little ones could catch up with the sea game. They moved in the underwater world of Bikini Bottom. Maybe that's where they're doing the DNA test in Bikini Bottom. That's it. Maybe it catches catchy too. You know.
Yeah. He said, but
living in a pineapple under the sea, SpongeBob SquarePants.
but based on my direct work with dolphins, with Project Seagate, I would not be surprised. What is Project Seagate as he imagines it? Do you know, Ion?
We have no idea.
Okay, we move forward. Ed, anything you want to say on this section?
Great computer company, though.
Okay, so we're going to the next part.
Now, I have to tell you that last night we had contact with a whistleblower, and this is just one of those synchronicities that goes on in, you know, with Project Camelot. Today we were having this interview with you. This was planned ahead, and last night, inadvertently, we got in touch with a whistleblower who has worked for the military, actually Space Command, and was talking about the Gulf of Aden, and I didn't get all the information, even though we talked for like 6 hours, and we will release that pretty soon, that interview. But he was saying, he was talking about synthetic beings, synthetic robots for all intents and purposes. Project Camelot was in touch with a secret source last night who was talking about synthetic beings and basically, I guess, some form of biological robot, I guess, that are being created, and some which may be also coming here, in other words. And so I am wondering whether or not the Gulf of Aden is specifically connected with a possible invasion of these synthetic beings. Is there anything that, you know, any hookup that you know of in this regard?
There has been talk about it amongst me and some other people that I'm in direct contact with that were part of multiple projects under MK Ultra. That's something that we've discussed, but we weren't sure if we really wanted to go public with that just yet, because, you know, what I'm saying already and what people are going to say is going to invoke fear. But with fear can build strength, and using that fear, turn it around to really find out what's going on.
Okay. By fear can build strength, and using that fear, turn around to really find out what's going on.
The hell you say? No way, Jose. Not a chance, not a clue. No, 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 no. And yes, that's not a new technology. They named her Polly. Well, synthetic beings. You've heard of it, haven't you? They call her polyester.
That's right, synthetic being. Since we stopped here, are there synthetic robots, biological robots, being created by somebody on the planet, this planet?
Bob, don't know.
No, just don't go there. There's nothing.
Well, you can go there, but think about it. They're now pining through all this underwater ocean business and all these things that are carrying on and going on with this anomalous whistleblower, and now all of a sudden your candidate for the interview has moved everything into now we. Gosh, that sounds like us. Instead of I have, or this is, I experienced, I saw it, I touched it, I ate it, I was anally probed by the DNA prototype of the polyester nano bot. And this is what happened to me. And I have DNA in my rectum where I was probed. Okay? And they took me under the water and flipper got me straightened out. And now I can tell you a little bit or what we have decided to release. You see, if you're going to make these claims, fine, make them. If you're going to have it based by something, fine. But then to come back in and say that this fear builds strength. Strength of what? Strength of fear? Yes. It does enrich fear. It does indeed. It does indeed. And at the end of the day, if you had everything all worked out and tidied up and straightened out and all solved and done, then at the end of the day, all you got to do is never go in the water, especially in Aden or Uden or Auden. Maybe they're talking about another sea, the Odd One, but then that was a couple, the Odd Couple. So maybe that was it. Phoenix was running around cleaning up everything. Maybe that's the ticket there. Maybe that was the first bots that came along. You gotta get this back to the human creator. The human creator, the flaccid mind that comes up with these details and these things, protract. It's the biggest conspiracy theory of all. It's just them trying to prove the conspiracy theory that they're trying to validate. Get it back to the real world. Everybody's talking about the sweet by, and they don't want to face and deal with the dirty here and now. You listen to this stuff and you carry on, and that's all well, good, and wonderful. If it brings you back into your place of power, we say, hallelujah, brother. Go with it. But if it's now you got to be afraid that you're going to be accused of having bestiality relations with dolphins and that you're going to be run through the bot shop of polyester mills, then you got to come up to a whole nother rumor of a dynamic that has to straighten out. You wouldn't want to leave your house. But don't worry, they know where you are, and they've got the bodies all set up to replace you. So you don't have to go to parallel worlds. We'll just replace you right here, right now. At the fulcrum of all of this dynamic, what do you get? You're lost.
Yeah, and he says you use this fear to find out what's really going on.
Yeah, now that's the problem. They're afraid to find out what's really going on.
Got to use fear to know what's going on.
It'll make you stronger. We're sorry. We didn't mean to interrupt. That's not our notion of place. But at certain points, the false premises have to be documented at some place because at the end of it, the best this can go is ending in tears.
We can start on the final section, which mentions the movie Avatar.
Project Seagate was a major project with a huge underground base location, and they were working on many different sub-projects. Project Seagate is almost like a sub-version of MK Ultra, Project Seagate, one location, but had many sub-projects. Everything from the Human Dolphin Super Soldier program to an Omega program where they were making soulless beings for remote viewing and actual, via the Seagate, being able to put people there. And yes, this is real people, their astral self, their energy, their soul, into one of these robots for covert operations, so that if the body gets killed, they are able to extract and put it in.
Okay, so they're taking soulless beings for remote viewing. You ever heard of the Omega program?
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. Oh wait, sorry, we digress.
Okay, the Omega program, you know about that?
As opposed to the Alpha one?
Yeah. They were making soulless beings for remote viewing, and actual via the Seagate, which we've established, we don't know what it is or it doesn't exist, being able to put people, and yes, it's real people, their astral self, their energy, their soul, into one of those robots for covert operations. You ever seen any of that being done here? And
not even on Gene Roddenberry's version of reality.
Right. So that if the body gets killed, they're able to extract and put it in. Put the soul in, I guess. What do you think of that?
Well, why would they have these synthetic bots if they're able to kill them? What's the point? Why don't they make them better so that they become impervious to everything? If they have a soul, they have the residue of the unquieted dead in this machinery. Now, some of that's not too far off, but not the way he's talking about it. You can have Grandma's flower pot jump off the shelf and hit the floor and bounce and do all kinds of fun things, but that has to do with just energy flow. There's a lot of larger dynamics that you could fit some of these wordy words in regards to, but not from some super dynamic government. If the government was this well put together, why in the world couldn't they govern themselves?
Well, you've said that many times. So you see in the future that we will be able to put souls, which are physical afterprints, after images of our physical lives, they might be able to put them inside chip landscapes?
You already can do that. You can walk into a room and smell your grandmother's perfume now without it being evident around you. You can sense that. So does that mean that grandma's perfume could then be imbued into some chair or some afghan or a piece of an old ratty fur coat that she had that smells like her? Well, of course, but that's just the residue. And if you had the soul in a bot, what would that do? I mean, I guess it could pray for you, but I don't know what the other thing would do.
Souls
don't have power.
What?
Souls don't have power.
Well, that's why they put them in a pot, so they get a little power.
Well, and if they did put them in a bot, that's wonderful. And I'm sure a soul or residue on the earth wouldn't have a problem living in a bot. So, problem.
Now, if people knew that Ion is communicating through JW's computer when it's not even hooked up to anything, there's no battery in it, but still broadcasting YouTube, which you can hear on our site, not here in our forum, but that's not open for everybody. But anyways, some people can hear it. You can say that Ion is merged with Ion, this non-physical, is merged with JW's computer.
Of course. But that doesn't mean that if there was carnal relations with dolphins, nor Seagates, nor bots, nor polyester, or any of her lineage, there was no DNA representations that were alien in nature, unless you're talking about those not from the country in which they were born alien.
Yeah.
From that dynamic or place that this world is now watching closely, because you're like the cockroaches from space that are going to come eat you up and devour you. What's the point?
Okay, okay, fine, 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 we got it. The I have people now. He says he has people he knows that this has happened to.
Well,
yeah, you wish.
No, no, you can. You know, people can do, be, or have anything they want to be. They can be victims. They can be pros.
And you can even have absolute evidence that it happened.
Of
course. Hey, hey, Ed, did you play this on your site?
Yes, yes, of course. I play most of the Project Camelot interviews on my site. And this is a very popular one. People have, you know, been listening to this and questioning it, and you know, they find it fascinating.
This particular Aaron McCollum interview.
Yes, because he seems very sincere, and this is information that's in the meme that's out there. You know what he's saying. He's just one of many of these of what he's saying. These super soldiers that are in these projects by the secret government that are programming these humans like himself to have these super abilities.
Oh, so, he has super abilities?
Well, he talks about the super soldier project. I mean, he doesn't go into a lot of this is sort of inferred in what he's saying.
Yeah.
But Ian, I would ask you, and
what'd you say, Ian?
Then why don't they send them down to, instead of the Gulf of Aden, why don't you send them down to the Gulf of Mexico and cap that sprouting pipe that's pumping oil aisle into the Gulf and take care of it. And they, while they're there, they can build a super sub camp. Down there, and they'll have plenty of petroleum products to fuel the underground water reserve in the Gulf of Mexico and just solve all kinds of problems. And while they're at it, go ahead and build that pipeline in Afghanistan and get that cleaned up and done, so they could have to fight over that. And then while they're at that, then go on over there to Dubai and loan them enough of money to pay for their infrastructure, because their oil's running out. They've got plenty of it, so help them build a super place so all these fembots can run around and have a fun place to play in the water park in that place. There's lots of things, lots of useful things that these super people could do and be about of repairing all these breaches, since the human creators apparently have laid their power down and want to leave it to the bionic men to straighten it all up. Well, put them to work. Put them in the field. Get them at it. Then we won't have to. Then all the Mexicans won't be coming into your United States to try to invade all of Arizona. Just put the super bots on it, and they can pick cotton way faster than everybody else. It won't ruin the Social Security Administration. Canadians can calm down about all the Politburo trying to infiltrate them. They can just put the bots down there on the line. It's no problem. And then just, you know, if that's what you got, the best you got to offer, at least make some good out of it. If it's going to make that much sense, it ought to be sensible.
Yeah,
put them bots to find Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, it's like they're stuck in research and development and never apply it to anything practical.
And you got to keep the story going or they'll lose their grant funding.
So, Ed, I mean, it's just ridiculous, this is my personal point of view, that Carrie doesn't, she's so lost in this meme that she's accepting so much of it. She doesn't have one.
She doesn't want to push against. She wants it to flow. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with this now. We're not pushing against a thing. But after a little bit, good. Congratulations. Fly it. If this is a tactile knowledge that's being presented, that's been, oh, it must be good because it's been out there a long time. Well, there's a lot of false premises that have been begun that have been going on for a long time, like time. And that's not serving you very well either. But just because it's been out there a long time and lots of folks have been talking about it, doesn't mean that you ought to marry it and take it to bed with it and make babies out of it.
Okay, let's carry on here. We're going to get into Avatar, the movie.
Good.
So this is a lot like Avatar, basically.
You're talking about military personnel that basically they're going in inhabiting these robotic beings.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Hey, Ed, that's fascinating. It's just fascinating. It's just engaging your eyes and senses to, like, watching TV. TV is fascinating.
It's the Matrix.
Yeah, and she's acting out the Matrix effect. What's interesting, though, this interview comes out after Avatar, Ed, around the time of Avatar, right? So Avatar, this is just a guy tuned into the Avatar meme. You know, it's popular because it's close to what they saw in the movie Avatar. You follow that, Ed, what I'm saying? This Avatar was a major phenomenon. Everybody went to it, made billions of dollars. And so then here's a guy who, he should say, this is about Avatar. But it took her well into the interview to point out that it's like Avatar. So it's resonating with a meme of the day 6 months ago. So I would explain to you why people are fascinated by it. It's just good timing.
Yes, and I think that's what happens with a lot of this information. It all flows like this. It relates one to another, and people get in the flow of it and listen to it, and it sounds very interesting because they're not looking for these false premises, and we appreciate non-physical bringing this to our attention.
And the delicious part, and the essence of creation, and it's very intriguing. We've said this about every way we can say it, but we're going to say it one more time. You have one mouth and two ears and one rectum. And those proportionally are connected, the mouth and the rectum. And if what comes out of your mouth is picked up by your ears, you can use that to overlay and build great attention, or in this case, contrast, that you have to deal with. Because you lay this out and you hear it, then you got to sit it. You got to go, this is crap. No? Well, okay, the sky is blue. Got it. I concur. I'm looking up. I can see the sky is blue. But that doesn't mean that polyester is going to come down and take my DNA. See, the end can't get you to there. So you got to have a sieving process, which every human creator has, and they can decide for themselves, because they thought that Gene Roddenberry was just over the top crazy. People talking to them communicators, and they could say, "Beam me up, Scotty," and work out those dynamics. But then the cell phone technology caught up to that process. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility. The point is if it doesn't have a functioning service other than how they're taking your power away from you and hiding it in plain sight and on and on and on and on and on, it's the validity. If you're using that, if you have all those words, and we don't push it, well, we kind of have, but we didn't mean to push it against any of it, but okay, great. If the dolphins are the answer, let's get busy. Let's start mating them up. Let's hook up. Everybody should have one. Get you a cement pond and a dolphin so they can tell you what's going on. And open up the sea gates and work the drains in your house so you can slip down the rabbit hole anytime you require it. But instead, it's all these projected little dots here and little dots there and little dots here. And then they're well guarded and protected by the Somalian pirates so you can't get to them. Well, you know, that's the only dynamic. If it's that good, let's apply it. Is there any good in it? Let's take that good and bring it home.
Well, wait a minute. The point they make is that the elites have hijacked it and using it for themselves and not helping everybody. You have a general Jeremy Bentham utilitarian philosophy that the greater good for the greatest amount, that could be hijacked.
Well, it's not working out very well for Bear Stearns.